Okay, we're up to Yeshaya, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. We were discussing Nebuchadnezzar, and Bovel's demise, the end of Nebuchadnezzar, the end of Bovel. Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, was killed. The Persians came in, Paras and Modai, and he was killed. And that eventually was the end of the, and right then was the end of the Babylonian Empire, and then began the Persian Empire under Daryovesh and Koresh. Nebuchadnezzar was a king at that point where the world held him to almost be a god. They worshipped him, and they felt that he was unstoppable. And there was a disbelief when he was killed. We learned in beginning from Pasuk Dalet, V'nasasa ha-moshal hazeh al-melech bovel. You'll say the following parable about the king of Bovel. How could it be the oppressor has ended? There's no longer the oppression. Hashem has broken the rod of the wicked, the staff of the rulers. All of a sudden, the earth feels a tranquility. In Potschurina, they break out in song. In Pasuk Zion, the trees are happy, meaning all the rulers and all the kings finally feel that they can breathe a sigh of relief. And in Gehenim, even there's a tremble when Nebuchadnezzar is coming. Who knows what they're in for? And all the kings get up from their chairs in Gehenim. They hear Nebuchadnezzar is coming. And then they say in Pasuk Yud, Gamata chuleisa komonu. It's hard to believe. But you've also become weak, you've become sick like us. You're lying here in Gehenim and in the grave. Eleinu nim sholta, you're comparable to us. That his body's placed in the grave, and he has the maggots underneath him, and the worms on top. Like the morning star falling from the sky. The great Nebuchadnezzar has had his downfall. And Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'ata Marta Bilvovcha, you said in your heart, Hashemayim Ela, I'm going to ascend up to the Shemayim, up to the heavens. Mimal Lechoch Vekel Arim Kisi, higher than the highest stars, the stars of God, which could be referring to Klal Yisrael. Or it could mean higher than the highest stars, or in Kisi, I'll make my throne. It's almost as if he deludes himself into believing he can make his throne in the upper galaxies. Ve'eshev Bahar Moed, and I'll dwell Bahar Moed, on the mountain of meeting, where Hashem meets this world by the Beis HaMikdash, the Har Moed, B'yarkesei Tzafon, on the northern side of the Beis HaMikdash, where the most holy sacrifices were brought. And Nebuchadnezzar says it's all his. He can conquer it. He can take over everything. And in Pasuk Yudalid, El Albama Seyov, I will ascend Albama Seyov over the tops of the clouds, Edame Le'elyon. I will liken myself Le'elyon to the one who is most high. I'll be like Hashem. The Gemara says in Chagiga, in Daf Yud Gimel, the Mari Kora brings down part of the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, what was the answer to Nebuchadnezzar's boasts? This is all what Nebuchadnezzar said. And a baskol came out to that Rosha. There was a voice that came out from the heavens. And it said, Rasha, ben beno shel Nimrod ha-Rasha, you Rasha, the descendant of Nimrod, Shehimri kol olam kulo alai, that Nimrod we learned in yesterday's laning in Parshas Noach, Nimrod was the one that convinced people to rebel against Hashem. And he's the one who instigated the Migdal, the Dor HaFloga, the Migdal Bovel, to make the tower, to go up and fight against Kaviyochel, against Hashem. And the Baskel came out and said to Nebuchadnezzar, Kamashnos of Shalodim, how long does an average person live? Shivim Shana, 70 years. From the earth to the first Rakia is a 500-year journey. Whatever that means, it's Mahalach Chamesh Me'oshana. It would take 500 years. And the thickness of the Rakia is 500 years. And the seven Rakias in between each one is another 500 years. So it would take thousands of years to reach the top Rakia, the top firmament, the top level of Shamayim. And then begins the place where the chayis are, the malachim, and the legs of the chayis are equal to all of that distance. And the Gemara discusses how every part of the chayis is equal cumulatively to all those rakiyas and all those light years, as if to say it's totally impossible. And yet you are able to say such a thing like, El al bomaseyov edamel elyon. I'll ascend to the tops of the clouds. I liken myself le'elyon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's what Nebuchadnezzar felt. The Gemara says in Chulin, on Daf Pei Tes Amid Aleph, the Gemara says, Omer lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, Choshkeni bochem. I have such a desire, cheshek, a lust, such a desire for you. You know why I have such a desire for Klal Yisrael? Shafilu b'shoa shani mashpia lechem gedula. At the time that I shower you with greatness, atem mematim atzmechem lefonai. You minimize yourself in front of me. I make you great, and you make yourself small, insignificant. Nasati gedula l'Avram. I gave greatness to Avram. And what was his reaction? Omar lefonai, v'anochi ofer v'efer. Avram Avinu said, I'm like dirt, I'm ashes. When he was davening for Sodom. I give greatness l'Moshe v'Aaron, to Moshe and Aaron. Omru, and they said, v'nachnu mo. What are we? Why are you complaining to us? We're nothing. V'nachnu mo. What are we? L'David. David HaMelech was so great. Omar, he said, V'anochi tolas v'loish. I'm like a worm. I'm not a person. So the way the great ones of Klal Yisrael, as great as they are, they feel they're nothing. And they're totally insignificant when they're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who are they? Aval ovdei kochovim einon kein. But the goyim are not that way. Nasati gedula l'nimrod. I gave greatness to Nimrod. Omar, he said, Hova, nivna lanu ir, let's prepare ourselves and we'll build a city. Leparo, I gave greatness to Paro. Omar and Paro said, Mi Hashem, who's Hashem? He said to Moshe, why, you're coming from Hashem? Who's Hashem that I should listen to him? L'Sancheiriv, I gave greatness to Sancheiriv. Omar, he said, Mi b'chol eloheyo arotzos, who in the gods of any of these lands was able to save their people? And certainly Yerushalayim also won't be saved. The Nebuchadnezzar, I gave greatness to Nebuchadnezzar. And the Gemara brings our pasuk. Amar, and he said, El al bomaseyov, I'll rise up on the highest of the tops of the clouds. And Chiram Melech Tzor was another guy who was great. And he also had a similar boast. Moshev Elokim Yoshovti, Belev Yamim, he has his fortress in the middle of the ocean. So that was Nebuchadnezzar. And the pasuk says, Achel Sheol Turad, but to the Sheol, to the grave, you'll be lowered, El Yarkes Sebor, to the bottom of the pit. You felt you would rise to the tops of the clouds, but in reality, you'll be El Sheol Turad, you'll be lowered to the lowest place. You felt you would be Biyarkes Eitzophon, on the northern side of the Mizbeach. The side you'll be on will be the Yarkes Eibor, the bottom side of the pit, at the very bottom. The Me'am Lois brings down a very interesting pshat. Nebuchadnezzar, we mentioned this last time, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in the dream, he saw a a statue. And the top of the statue had a gold head. This is in Daniel, Perek Beis. And he saw this statue. The Reishe Di Dahav Tov, the head of it was fine gold. Chado Yudraoi Di Kasaf, the breast and the arms were silver. The belly and the thighs were copper. The legs were iron. And each one of it was representing a different kingdom. The golden head was Nebuchadnezzar, was the Babylonian Empire. After that, there was another kingdom that was weaker. That was the silver of the Persian Empire. And then there was the Greek Empire. That was the copper and the iron is the Malchus Edom, the Roman Empire. And the Mephoshim over there discuss, a number of them allude that at the same time that there was the Roman Empire, there's the Muslim world. That the two competing empires at the end. But under Malchus Edom, the Arabs also have a control, and that's alluded to in this statue. Afterwards in Daniel, it says in Perek Gimel, Nebuchadnezzar Malka Avad Salem Di Dahav. Nebuchadnezzar made a statue of gold. It was 60 amos high and had a width of 6 amos. And he said that all the nations should bow down to it. And Avar Benel learns that what happened is Nebuchadnezzar took this dream to heart, that there were going to be different empires, and he's the first, and he's the greatest. But he felt that what he should do is make a statue, a Tzalem Di Dahav, of complete gold. From head to foot it should be gold. And let all the other nations of the world, meaning the Persians and the Greeks, and the Romans, let everyone come and bow down to this statue, as if to acknowledge that they're subservient and they're giving over their authority, and they're going to bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar felt that this way he would consolidate and he would become the ruler, and his empire would last forever. The Gemara says in Psochim, on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and Tosis discusses it. The Gemara says Hanani Mishol Vazaria were confronted. Everyone had to bow down to this statue, and they didn't bow down. And they said, you know, the Tzfardim in Mitzrayim, the frogs jumped into the ovens that were hot, and they jumped into the dough that was next to the ovens. When you make the dough, that's when the ovens are hot, so that the dough can go in. They jumped into the fiery ovens to sanctify Hashem's name. We should also be Makadeshem Shamayim. We should sanctify Hashem's name. And Tosis explains, they had to learn this from the frogs, because this wasn't really Avodah Zarah. Tosis has more than one explanation, but one of the explanations of Tosis is, this was not an idol. And if Hanani Mishol Vazariah wanted, they could have bowed down. This was not idol worship. But since Nebuchadnezzar set it up to show that he was the greatest and people perceived him as being godly, even though his intention might have been, as we're saying, just that the whole world should acknowledge the greatness of Bavel, but you know, the frogs could have also found a different place to jump. They could have jumped on the bed. Those that went into the ovens gave up their life even though there was an alternative. The particular frogs weren't instructed that you have to be the one to go into the oven. And yet they gave their life. So Hanani Mishol Vazariah said, you know, we might have a loophole. There might be permission not to bow down to the statue. It's only a statue. But even so, let's go ahead and give up our lives and be Moser Nefesh to be Makadeshem Shamayim. That's the Tosis on in Psochim Nun Gimel Amud Beis. So Nebuchadnezzar felt he would be able to be the greatest. And as we're going to learn, not only did he lose the empire after his death, but he himself is Achal Shol Turad. He himself in his lifetime would be lowered to the grave and to Gehenim El Yarkasei Bor, to the bottom of the pit. Roecha Elecha Yashkichu. Roecha, those who see you. And Roecha is not just those who have seen you on occasion. It's those who see you on a regular basis. They know you well. And all of a sudden, while you're there at the bottom of the pit, Elecha Yashkichu, they're going to look and they're going to gaze and they're going to study you. Elecha Yisponanu, and then they're going to contemplate. They're looking at this person here, Nebuchadnezzar. It could be it means he's in the pit after he's dead. But there's going to be a point they're going to contemplate. They're going to look at him, try to figure out. Hazeh ha'ish margiz ha'aretz. Is this the man that made the land tremble? Marish mamlochos, who created such an uproar in the kingdoms that they all shook from fear. Some tevel kamidbor, the person who made tevel as the civilized, settled places of earth. And he took this tevel and he made a kamidbor. He made the world like a desert, like a wilderness. V'arav horos, and he destroyed his cities. He was such a tyrant that even his own cities, if there be somebody in the populace that stood up against him, he would not just kill that individual, but the whole cities he would wipe out. Asirov lo posach boisa. And if he took a person as a prisoner, that person was never released to go home. He would rot in jail till he died. Kol malchei goyim kulam. All of the kings of the nations. Shochvu b'chovod ish b'veso. They all lied in honor. Every one of them b'veso in his house. Over here, his house could mean his grave, his eternal resting place, his house where he lives on a permanent basis. The kings eventually die, but at least in the grave they have a reprieve and they're settled in their grave. Va'atzon Yunavuchanetzar, even after you die, you won't have peace. Hoshlachta mikivracha, you were thrown out of your grave. Kinetzer Nisov, like a Netzer is a shoot from a tree. Nisov, that's detested and despised. You have the guy looks over his front lawn and he can see some type of tree coming up among the grass. And he certainly doesn't want an oak tree growing on his front lawn. And he goes ahead and he pulls it out by the roots. And so too, Nebuchadnezzar, they're going to drag you out from your grave. Levush Harugim. Either it means they're going to despise you like a garment worn by those who are killed, which is bloody and soaked with all the body fluids. Mitoane chorev, of somebody pierced by the sword. Or it means Nebuchadnezzar himself will be pierced and will be bloody. Yordei al avnei vor. To go down to Avnei Bor, the stones at the bottom of the pit, kefeger muvos, like a trampled carcass. Instead of being gingerly lowered into the grave, very carefully, that the body shouldn't be disjointed, it should be put down with honor. He'll be thrown into the bottom of the grave. They used to place stones at the bottom, very often too, so that the grave would keep its shape and the body would be protected. But he'll just be thrown down El Avnei Bor to those stones at the bottom of the grave. By Malchus Beis David, we learned that a shoot, V'yotza choter migeza yishoy, there'll be a shoot that will come up from the roots of Yishai. There'll be an extension from David HaMelech, and that will be Mashiach. We had this in Perek Yud Aleph. V'netzer misharosh of Yifre, and a shoot will grow from the roots of Malchus Beis David. It's like dormant now. We don't see Mashiach. We don't know who it's going to be, who's coming from Malchus Beis David. And all of a sudden it'll rise above the ground and we'll say, oh, it was always there. It was just waiting to come, that the royal family. Nebuchadnezzar is the opposite. He's like that root that's uprooted and dragged out of the ground. Nebuchadnezzar, as we've mentioned, Chazal, I've talked about it. It's in Daniel, it mentions, he was shown a vision of a tree that was chopped down. And as it was explained over there, he lost the throne for 7 years and he became like an animal. He grew claws and his hair grew long and it appeared like an animal for like 7 years and all of a sudden he came back. And Rashi brings this Chazal in Pasuk Yud Tes. Kneser Nisav, Rashi says, Kionik Ilon HaNisav Be'enei Bailov. Like a young sapling of the tree that the owners don't want, shechofro mishare, she digs and he uproots it, umotziu, and he takes it out, kachu shlachto mikivrecha. So too you, Nebuchadnezzar, were thrown out of your grave. Amru chachomim, Rashi says, Chazal say, kishenasa behema v'chaya zayin shonim. There was a 7 year period when Nebuchadnezzar disappeared. He wasn't on the throne. He was gone. And he had a punishment for 7 years. He was like an animal, and they didn't know where he was, and they took his son, and his son served as the king. Himlichu am ha'aretz es Evil Merodach. The people of the land took Evil Merodach, who was his son, and they made him the king. Then, after the punishment was over, Nebuchadnezzar again became like a person, and one day he walks into the palace, and the decree was over, he was once again given his throne. And as if it was a dream, as if people weren't aware of what's happened, they all accept him again as the king, and nobody questioned, you know, where he was all those years, and he once again became the king. Ukshachoza l'malchuso, when he came back to his kingdom, Notloi, Nebuchadnezzar took Evil Merodach, v'chavsho b'veso asurim, and he locked him in prison. He might have been his son, but what kind of audacity did he have to take over the throne? So he took him and he put him in prison. Ad yom moso, until Nebuchadnezzar died, the rest of his life, his son Evil Merodach was in jail. Kishemes, the time came and Nebuchadnezzar died. Hotziu Evil Merodach mi beis hasohar, and they took Evil Merodach out of prison, and they said, your father Nebuchadnezzar died. Long live the new king. They took him out l'hamlicho, that he should be the ruler. V'lo kibil olov, and he refused. Amar, he said, im yoshuv l'malchuso. You know, I got burnt once. People told me Nebuchadnezzar's gone. He must have gotten captured or killed, or who knows? Nebuchadnezzar's gone, and they convinced me to become the king, and then I ended up in jail. If Nebuchadnezzar, you think he's dead and he's not, and if you have your story wrong and he comes back, the next time jail won't be enough. I'll be tortured, I'll be killed. I'm not interested in it. In Yoshiv Lemachusa Yargeni, if Nebuchadnezzar comes back again, he'll kill me, Evil Merodach said. Omrlo, so the people said, Mace, he's dead. Vinikvarn, he's buried. V'lo hemin, and Evil Merodach didn't believe it, ad shehotziyuhu mikivro, until they took Nebuchadnezzar out of the grave, and they showed his son Evil Merodach, there he is, take a look! He's now no deader than this, that's Nebuchadnezzar. And then his son agreed to become the king. So Nebuchadnezzar was taken out of the grave. One of the fascinating things about learning Yeshaya is the fact that this is a prophecy, it's a nevuah. When he said this, we still had the first Beis HaMikdash. He said this in advance. And the simple meaning certainly is as we're learning it. There was a different parak in Yeshaya where my Rebbe, Hagon Rav Yisrael Belsky, Shlita, explained it, how it could be a reference to Iraq, what was going on in Iraq. When we get to that parak, Yemir Tashem, I'll point it out to you. I'll point it out. Looking at this parak, I say it's not on our minds nowadays, but during the times of the Gulf Wars with George Bush, the first and the second, but way back then, Saddam Hussein was on everyone's mind. And I was learning this perek, and I had a thought, you know, this really sounds like Saddam Hussein. And before giving the shiur, I made one of those rare visits. I went to a library, and I asked the librarian to help me out. I said, I wanted to see some information, because I had heard rumors. It was the talk at that time that Saddam Hussein felt he was Nebuchadnezzar. And sure enough, this is what the librarian came up with. There's a book, Saddam Hussein, the Stairway to Heaven and Return of Planet X, written by a William Henry. But over there he writes the following. It says, Saddam Hussein believed he was a literal reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. He built a palace that cost $500 million. Imagine that, $500 million he invested in a whole large palace and a complex to reestablish ancient Babylonia. He placed 60 million bricks, and on each brick it is engraved the following inscription. To King Nebuchadnezzar in the reign of Saddam Hussein. This is a quote. This is what, I didn't make it up, in this book by William Henry. I'm sure you could find it the way I did. But 60 million bricks, and each one said, to the King Nebuchadnezzar in the reign of Saddam Hussein. I don't know if there was ever somebody like this, but it really caught me. If you remember exactly what went on at that time. I mean, he was known for torturing and killing and causing the death of millions of people. He sent millions of his men to fight against Iran, and just, he didn't, 100,000 Kurds he killed with poison gas, and he was known for torturing, soaking people in acid, and the skin peeled off, and he tortured and killed millions. They found him in December 13th, 2003, in an underground bunker. And they were looking all over for him. They didn't know what happened to Hussein when America conquered Iraq. And they looked all over. They couldn't find him. And they had the picture of him with a mustache. At that point, he had a long beard. And his hair was very long. And there were questions, was that him? Was that not him? They did tests and they studied. Yeah, they're sure it must be it's him. And it was a whole study. It's almost certainly the plain meaning of the psukim is this is a vision of Bavel, and Bavel is going to have its final destruction. Nebuchadnezzar is going to be thrown into the bottom of the grave. But when you read the psukim, and in general, these psukim, if you think about it, there was a list of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And one of them, as I recall, were the hanging gardens of Nebuchadnezzar. Babel was known then as a wonder of the world. And since the destruction of Babel that we're reading about over here, it never came back. Babel was never again known as a beautiful place where people should go sightseeing and see the wonders and the lush, beautiful country. Never. Once it was destroyed, as the psukim say, the land is overturned, it never came back. Nebuchadnezzar had a son, Evil-Merodach, who was followed by a king, Belshazzar, and that was it. Belshazzar was killed, and Paras took over, and Babel, not only Nebuchadnezzar came to an end, and his monarchy in the country never recovered and remained a wasteland and a desert and till today. But when somebody rose up and he felt he's a reincarnation of Babel and he's once again going to establish that empire, the psukim seemed to apply to him also. What we learned in Pasuk, Tesvov, Achal Sheol Turod, he's lowered to the depths, Ol Yarkasei Bor, to the bottom of the pit. Rovecha ilecha yashkichu. Those that see you will study you. They'll be mashkiach. They'll be looking closely. We might have seen him dozens and hundreds of times, and we know his picture very well. But ilecha yashkichu. They're looking to you. And then as much as they look, ilecha yisponanu, they start to contemplate. Again, the simple meaning is it's sort of like a rhetorical question. Is this really him that he's killed? But it seems to be that the ruler that's found at the bottom of the pit, which is where he was found and taken out, all looking all over the, all disheveled and all with overgrown hair, not having been groomed or showered in weeks. And they look at him, Hazeh Ish Margis Ha'aretz. Is this the person who made the land tremble? Marish Mamlochos, who made the kingdoms quake? Anyways, it does seem to apply to him also. The exact, whether this is a reference or not, a lot of these questions, when Mashiach comes, we'll look back over these nevuos and we'll see exactly what other deeper meanings there are. But this Nebu is the end of Bavel. In Pasuk Chaf, continuing. Lo Seichad Itam Bikavura. You won't be united with them. You won't be together with them in burial. Ki Artzecha Shichata. Because you destroyed your own land. Amcha harogta. You killed your people. Mephoshim say, anyone that Nebuchadnezzar suspected of being a traitor or plotting against him was immediately killed. If anybody didn't do his job 100%, if there was something faulty, they were killed. We even have Nebuchadnezzar when he had that dream. And he forgot what the dream was. Daniel came and Daniel explained to him it was this statue, this idol that had a head of gold. And Daniel told him over the dream. But at that point, Nebuchadnezzar said, if nobody tells me the meaning of this dream, he'll kill all of the Chachamim, all of the wise men in Bava will be killed. If you can't interpret the dream, they'll be killed. So, lo seichad itam bikvura, you won't be joined with the other kings in burial. Because you're just so wicked and so evil, and you brought such suffering to the world. Ki artzecha shichata, you destroyed your land. Amcha rogta, you killed your people. Lo yikarei la'olam zera mereim. Lo yikarei la'olam, they won't be called forever. The zera mereim, the evil offspring. They won't be known forever. There'll be an end to them. They'll be killed and they'll be forgotten. And they won't have a continuity. Hachinu levonov matbeach. The Navi says, prepare a slaughter for his sons. Nebuchadnezzar's children, the descendants, should be killed. Ba'avon avosam, because of the sins, because of the sin of their fathers. Nebuchadnezzar's children are like him. Again, he had a son, Elvim, Merodach, and Balshatzar, and that was it. Then they were killed. But those descendants followed in his path, and therefore let them be killed. Because they're just continuing their father's sin. And it's not just a concern for the past. Bal yakumu v'yorshu aretz. But they shouldn't get up and once again take over the land. Umolu f'nei sevel orim, and fill the surface of the earth. With Orim. Orim can either mean Vayihi Orecha, Rashi brings a pasuk, he became your enemy. Orim can mean they'll be full of enemies and people who are out to hurt others. Or it could mean let's wipe out the descendants of Nebuchadnezzar. And Umolu Pnei Sevel Orim, once again the world will be settled and people will build up cities. Vekamti Aleihem, and I'll arise up against them. Ne'um Hashem Tzvokos, Hashem says, V'ichrati le'bovel, and I will cut off from Bovel shame. They won't have a name. A name is a reputation. We've mentioned earlier, there are Mephoshim that say in Lashon HaKodesh, it's fascinating how words are related. But the word shum means over there. Shame is a name. And the truth is, the two explanations are related. I think the art scroll on Divrei Hayomim might mention this in their overview. But the word shame and the word shum are related. Because if you want to say where something is, you can point, it's there, it's Shom. And if you want to identify a person, you can mention other side factors. You can mention where he lives and who's the members of his family and how he looks and describe his hair color. And you're sort of beating around the bush and telling me everything about him. If you really want to place him and you want to say Shom, that's where he is, tell me his name. If you tell me his name, you've placed him. You've gotten it exactly. The shame is related to the word Shom. And Bavel will be totally, won't have this name, won't have a reputation, they won't be known. I'll cut off from Bavel shame, the name. Usha'or, there won't be any remnant. Nin, no child, Vaneched, or a grandchild. Ne'um Hashem, Hashem says. Rashi brings down, Nin, there won't be the son of Bain, who's Moshe b'malchus Aviv, a son who rules and takes over for his father. And there won't be a neched, a grandchild, ben haben. Rashi says, Nin is referring to Belshazzar. That was the last king of Bavel, and he'll be killed. The neched, what's the next generation? Zu Vashti. That's referring to Vashti. Achashverosh came from the, he was not the first, but he was part of the Persian Empire. He descended from Korah. He did not have royal blood. He took over the Persian Empire. And since he was a commoner by birth, he married Vashti because he felt that Vashti at least had royal blood. And therefore, people would accept him more, even though he himself was Hamolech. Right? Hamolech Mehodu Vad Kush. He ruled on his own. He took over the throne of Persia. And he moved the throne to Shushan. But he married Vashti, figuring that Vashti would give some credence to his royal ambitions. After all, he's married somebody who would have been the queen. So there is somebody, even though the empire bubble ended with Belshazzar, there was somebody who carried on in the person of Vashti. But she was also killed, as we all know the story of Purim. And that was Vashti. And I'll wipe out from Bavel shame, usha'or, nim v'neched. They won't have any name. There won't be any remnant. There won't be any descendants. V'samtiha l'morash kipod. And I'll place Bavel as a place that's an inheritance, kipod. Here he translates it as a hedgehog. Va'agme moyim, and there marsh, there'll be marshes of water. Mitsuda says kipod is shame oaf, the name of some type of bird. But it'll become a wild area, Bavel. Vetite siha, and I'll sweep out Bavel b'matate hashmeid with a broom of destruction. Ne'um Hashem tzvakos. So says Hashem. Bavel will be swept out and will be totally destroyed. Now the Pasuk seems to talk about Ashur, the Assyrian Empire, which was in the days of Yeshaya. But without warning, we switch to a different subject. In the Navi, there's actually a break over here. There's a pay, there's a space in the Navi. This is a different thought. But Nishba Hashem Tzvokos, we'll see what the connection is in a moment. Nishba Hashem Tzvokos Lamor. Hashem swears saying, Im lo kasher dimisi, if not, surely as I've conceived, as I've thought, kein hayosa, so it was. V'chasher yo'atzti, and as I devised my counsel, hisokum, whatever I planned will happen. Lishbor Ashur ba'artzi. I'm going to break Ashur in my land. Val horai avusenu. And on my mountains, I'll trample Ashur. V'sor me'alehem ulo. And from the Jewish people, the yoke of Ashur will be removed. V'subolo, and the burden, me'al shichmo yosur, will be removed from the shoulder of Klal Yisrael. Also, I'm going to talk about Ashur. The connection is, what Hashem is telling, what Yeshaya is informing us is, we're reading these nevuas about Bavel, about Nebuchadnezzar, about people it hasn't happened yet. This is in the future. But just like you're seeing right now that Asher is going to be destroyed, I'm telling you in advance Asher will be destroyed. At this moment, Sancheirib and Asher are the mightiest country at that time. But just like they're going to be destroyed, what I'm telling you about Bavel will also happen. If Hashem just wanted to destroy Ashur, there could have been other ways that they would have been destroyed. But Kasher Dimisi, I planned, Kain Hayosa, that's what happened. V'Kasher Yo'atzti, and as I devised, Hisokum, that's what will happen. The Malbim explains, the Eitza, counsel, is when a person has a plan to get a certain end result. The Eitza is what we want to accomplish. And the means of doing that is the Machshava, the thought. A person has a Machshava, you have a thought, how to bring out the Eitza, the counsel, the final result. Hashem says, Kasher Dimisi, as I thought, Kein Hayosa, that's what happened. So will be. V'chasher yo'atzti, and I'm going to have the end result. He's sukkum, and that's what's going to be. The plan is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants everyone to realize that Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is caring for Klal Yisrael, and they should no longer enslave Klal Yisrael. Lishbor Ashur ba'artzi, and therefore I could have destroyed the Malchus of Ashur, let them fall apart in their own land, and then they would leave Eretz Yisrael alone. But this is just one more warning and one more lesson to the nations. Lishbor Ashur ba'artzi, that Ashur should come to Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, they should be miraculously destroyed. The Malach came the night of Pesach, and they were all wiped out. V'al hore avusenu, and I'll trample him on my mountains. V'sor me'aleim ulo, and that will remove the yoke of Asher from Klal Yisrael, v'subolu, and that burden, me'al shichmo yosur, will be removed from the shoulder of Klal Yisrael. Zos ha'etzo ha'yu'utzo, al kol ha'aretz. This is the etzo, the final result, not just for Asher, but it's al kol ha'aretz, the whole world should take note of this. V'zos ha'yod ha'netuya al kol ha'goyim, and this is the hand that's stretched out against all the goyim, that whoever causes suffering and hardship to Klal Yisrael will get their punishment, just as Ashur did. Just as it was clear they came to Yerushalayim and they're wiped out. So to all those that hurt Klal Yisrael, and certainly somebody like Nebuchadnezzar should take note. He is the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He is the one who exiled Klal Yisrael. He won't escape without punishment. Ki Hashem Tzvokos Yo'atz, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who has this counsel, who has this plan. Umi Yofer. So who could annul it? V'yodo HaNetuya, when Hashem stretches out His hand, Umi Yishivena, who could turn it back? Yeshaya has another nevuah. Now we're going to talk about a different nation. Bishnas Mos HaMelech Ochoz, when the king Ochoz died, Hoya HaMasa Hazeh, the following nevuah was said. Ochoz was a wicked king. He was the father of Chizkiyoh. Chizkiyoh himself was a tremendous tzaddik. And in the times of Chizkiyoh, that's when Sancheirib was destroyed. And Yeshaya was saying nevuah during this times, Bimei, as we learned at the very beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, the first pasuk, Bimei Uziyahu Yosam Ochoz Yechizkiyahu, during the times of these four kings, Yeshaya said nevuah. When Ochoz died, Ochoz was under the control of the Plishtim. The Meforshim discuss that Bishnas Mos Hamelech Ochoz, when Ochoz died and Chizkiyo became the king, Hoya Hamasa Hazeh, the following Nevuah was said, Al Tismachi Feleshes Kuleich, the land of the Plishtim shouldn't rejoice. Ki Nishbar Shevet Makech, because the staff that beat you has been broken. The Plishtim were always fighting against Klal Yisrael. Sometimes they had the upper hand. Sometimes the Jews had the upper hand. And now that the king, the Jewish king, Ochoz died, the Plishtim, those people in Gaza, would rejoice. And the Novi says, don't. Ki mishoresh nochosh, from the root of a snake, Yetzei Tsefa, will emerge a viper. That even though it might seem that the snake that's harmful dies, there could be something much more dangerous coming from it. Ufirio, and the offspring, the progeny, what comes from it, Saraf Ma'ofef, is like a flying Saraf, a fiery serpent. It could be the poison burns, and that's why it's called the Saraf Ma'ofef. Ochoz died, but his son Chizkiyo is going to attack the Plishtim, and he's going to strike the Plishtim in Aza and all the boundaries around there. Don't think because Ochoz died, you'll have the upper hand. But he's going to have a son Chizkiyo. And under Chizkiyo, once again, Klal Yisrael will have control. V'ro b'chorei dalim, the foremost of the poor, Klal Yisrael that might now be, right now is poor, Vevyonim, and destitute. All of a sudden, Vero, they'll be grazing. Bechore, the Bechor, the foremost, the leaders will be grazing. Those that used to be poor and destitute. Lovetach yirbotsu. And they'll lie down securely. Vero, Bechore, dalim, the leaders of the poor, what used to be poor, will now be grazing. Vevyonim, the destitute, lovetach yirbotsu, will lie down in security. Veheimati varov shorsheich, and I'll kill your root with famine. Usheiriseich yaharog, and those that remain, I'll slay. Ki heilili shar, wail, the gates of the city should cry out, Zaki ear, and the city should cry out, Nomog Pleshes Kulech, your whole area of the Plishti, Philistia, you should all, they like melt from fear and from suffering. Ki mitzofon ashan bo, because from the north, smoke is coming. Plishtim are in the southwest. That's where Gaza is, on the Mediterranean, in the southwest of Eretz Yisrael. And from the north, the smoke is coming. There's that signal that there's a fire there. There's going to be an attack. Vein bodeg b'moodov. And those troops that are coming, that are designated and appointed, like moed, an appointed time. Vein bodeg b'moodov. Those troops that are appointed won't be isolated. They'll come united. And together they'll attack the Plishtim. Umayana malache goy. And what will the messengers of the nation say? They're going to wonder what's happening. And messengers will go out. Ki Hashem Yisad Tzion. And they'll realize the smoke from the north, the sign that great things are happening by Chizkiyo, that Sancheiriv is going to be destroyed. They'll realize Ki Hashem Yisad Tzion, that Hashem has established Tzion, Uvo Yechesu Ani Eyamo, and in it the poor of Klal Yisrael will find their shelter. Instead of the death of Ochoz signaling the rise of the Plishtim, if anything, the death of Ochoz, who is a Rosha, will bring in the reign of Chizkiyo. And in the times of Chizkiyo, there will be miracles done for Klal Yisrael. They'll see that smoke from the north, and there'll be a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has wiped out the army of Sancheiriv. And now they should be afraid of Chizkiyo, Ki Hashem Yisad Tzion, Hashem has established Tzion, and in it, the poor of his people will find shelter. We'll stop here. We're up to a new perek, Yitz Hashem, next week, perek Tezvov, a nevuah about Moab.